All right. Well, we have a verse that we have been working with the last several weeks in this series, and it is Ephesians 2, and it's verse 10, and it says, "We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that He prepared for us to walk in, things to do. He prepared us for this. We're His workmanship. He is working on us." I've titled this message, "The Hope, the How, and the Have To of Experiences that God uses in our lives." In other words, this is the design studio of life, of God. The experiences are God's design studio. He forms us, takes a little off here, puts a little on there, equips this member to make us the way He wants us to be. You know, when you look at this verse, Ephesians 2:10, when it says that we are His workmanship, created for good works, we think, oh, yeah. Okay, so here we are the Christians, and we're looking at this batch of good works. We're looking at evangelism. We're looking at hospitality. We're looking at compassion. We want to, this is what a Christian does. But I want us to think more individualistic about this, because the thought of God working on us, the thought of us being His workmanship, is that He is uniquely equipping you to be and do what He made you to be and do. That is the thought of being His workmanship. And so that's why we've gone through this series. We wanted to help you identify who you are in Christ, your spiritual gifting, your heart, or your passions, your abilities, your personality, and now we're on to experiences. So this message is on experiences, and I mentioned these three areas. That's how we're going to approach this: the hope of our experiences, the how of our experiences, how does God use our experiences, and then finally, what do we have to do? How do we tap into this? So I want to start first with the area of hope in our experiences. We're going to go through a lot of verses this morning, but what I mean by the hope of experiences is what can I expect? What can I expect in my circumstances, in my experiences, if I am being worked on by God? Is it going to be good or is it going to be bad? If God's working on my life through my experiences, is that going to be a good thing? Yes. That's the first part that we want to go over. Romans 8:28. Even without Webb, we could still use this verse. You have to know this is Webb's most favorite verse. We know that God uses all things together to good for those who love God, for those who are called according to His purpose. He is able to make all things. That means your experiences. It's specifically related to your experiences in life. The things you enjoy and the things that you don't enjoy. That He will use a doctor bill as much as a tax refund. It's all part of the experiences. God is able to make all of our experiences work together for, what is that word? Good. That's a hope word. It's going to get better. Even if you're a pessimist, it's going to get better if you're walking by faith. Now, this is all you have to do in order to tap into this verse is to be a child of God. All you have to do to experience this verse is to believe Him. And that's what we're working on. Look at Romans 15:13. "Now may the God of hope," He calls Himself the God of hope, "the God who inspires the concept that my life is going to improve. Maybe not on the outside, but on the inside for sure, and in eternity for absolute sure, my life is going to improve. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that's an important phrase, in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. God is wanting to so work in your faith that in whatever circumstance you are in, whatever experience you are in, you have peace and you have joy, which are the byproducts of having hope. Now, I'm not being so idealistic to suggest that when a person, you know, Zach put his faith in Christ this week, and all of a sudden, I'm not saying that all of a sudden, because I know Zach's history. I know there was a discord there. I know there was a reason to doubt. Is God really good? Not everything in my life has been good. But what God wants to do in our faith is to put His word alongside of our experience and for us to be able to see, oh, I see what He did back there, and it was good for me. Even sometimes it was good for me that I was afflicted in order that I might know His comfort. And so on and so on. And to have enough of those experiences that I believe that tomorrow will be attended that same way. That's the concept of hope. He is the God of all hope. And I want to do one thing this morning again. I do it every time I talk, I think. If you hate to read, get over it. Please, find a way to put yourself in the Scriptures. I don't care if you only read 5 verses a day, 10 verses a day. It doesn't matter. Please park yourself in the Scriptures a little bit. You have to give the Holy Spirit something to work with. Isaiah 55 says, you don't think like God does. Count on it. And so when you go through experiences, if you want to have hope, if you want the God of all hope to give you hope, you're going to have to take on His perspective. You've got to be in the Scriptures daily. My daughter, our younger daughter, for many years, as a young child, read 10 verses a day and wrote one of them down. I didn't tell her to do that. It's just what she did. The Scriptures are in there. She's a deep thinker because the Scriptures are in her heart. Hebrews 11. Verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, that He exists, and that He's a rewarder. Now, why do I have to believe He's a rewarder? Because He is! You can't believe a lie. He is. He's a rewarder. He's a rewarder. He's a rewarder. He's a God of hope. Again, one of the most stern things that our Savior said to His own disciples, the most frequent reproof He gave them is for their lack of belief, their slowness to believe. He requires you to put the dots together. He requires you to say, God did this for me and I'm thankful. And then God did this for me and I'm thankful. And then God did this for me. He is a rewarder. Now, not all of the rewards come in this life. In fact, Hebrews 11, this chapter that this comes from, says that all of the Hall of Famers, all of the Hall of Faithers, died not having received everything yet, but having welcomed them from a distance. That's faith. And we are the people of faith. That's who we are. But God wants to equip us with hope in our experiences every single day of our lives. Okay, let's look at Psalm 27, verse 13. David says, I would have despaired if I hadn't seen the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. In other words, some things have to go well for us in order for us to believe. This is a legitimate faith. This isn't just happy talk, and it isn't just smiley thinking. It's real legitimate. When I was out of college for 11 years, I was working long hours, very difficult to keep things fluid in my own thinking. I barely had time for what I called a maintenance diet in the Scriptures, was faithful in it. But there was an opportunity at Iowa State University, and the short of the story is God brought me to Iowa State University. It's a total miracle. it was my Red Sea parting kind of a thing, because it was so impossible for me to get in. It was way past the time to apply when I applied. And I needed that. I needed something that, again, proved God is faithful in my life. Now, he had been faithful in other things, but that was just a biggie. And God expected me to remember that when things got tough again and again and again and again. Because, we'll look at that next verse in 2 Corinthians 4. It says, momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory. By the way, if you brought your notebook with you, we're in around page 44, 45, 46 in that area. And you can take notes there if you want. And I would encourage you sometime this week to go through those areas. There are some questions that are asked there. What are your spiritual experiences? What are your workplace experiences? Things like that. Be good little inventory for you to take. But what this verse is saying in 2 Corinthians 4 is that, I'm putting this right next to Psalm 27. Psalm 27 says, I would have despaired if God hadn't done something. Well, he's given you breath right now. Isn't that good enough? Yeah, I know, but I have to have that. Well, he's giving you food. Isn't that good enough? Yeah, well, but I have to have that. No, I want something good. I want something big. And God gives some of those. And he expects you to be thankful for those. And sometimes your circumstances are the opposite. Momentary light afflictions, which seem to us to be eternal, heavy problems, are producing something for us. And so this is the way this settles down. Some of our hope is for the present life, and a more substantial hope is our eternity. And the events of this life, the experiences of this life, both shape and determine both of them. Our experiences are critical. God uses our experiences both to develop us for this life and more substantially to lay up an eternity of treasure for us. And you might think that's selfish for us to have eternal treasures laid up for us. The thought is that God is glorified when you have your treasures. God is glorified when you walk by faith and go and endure a difficult situation without flipping out or without caving into one of your designs, your default things of alcohol or whatever yours might be. God is glorified when instead you trust him and say, no, God is good. God is good. Well, how does he do this? That's the next thing that we want to look at this morning. This is the how of God's design studio of experiences. I think the most important verse in all of the scripture on this is in Acts 17, verse 26. It's part of Paul's sermon in Athens, I think, is where he was. He says, God made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation. Having determined, he sovereignly dealt with us in that part. God is the reason you were born when you were born. This is your time. This is your life. God determined that. He determined when you would be born. He determined what birth order position you'd have. Do you know that most of the people that have gone to the moon have been oldest child in their family? It's just a position. Oldest children frequently feel like they're in charge. Is that right, Jennifer? Yeah. In charge. He determined to which parents you would be born. So stop blaming him for that. He determined that, what parents you would be born to. He determined it for a purpose. And he determined what gender you'd be born into. He determined to a certain degree what limitations you would have and what allowances you would have. Now, why did he do that? For this purpose, to develop you, to be the person that he has planned for you, the unique individual I hope you're rejoicing in this as we go through these five areas, the spiritual gifts, the heart, the abilities, personality. I hope you're rejoicing in who God made you to be. Because that's who you're going to be. You can't change it anyway. You might as well rejoice in it and live it up. God wants to develop you and fashion you into a person to best fulfill his beautiful role for you in this life, and especially in this church. Look at Psalm 33, verse 15. David here describes God as the one who fashions the hearts of all of us. Now, some of the fashioning of our hearts we already looked at in that section on heart, giving us certain passions. But that is true. But also, he uses experiences to fashion our hearts. And we'll look at some examples of this. I really wanted to do some kind of Paul Harvey thing here and give you an example. There are hundreds and hundreds of them, you know. And the rest of the story, if you've ever heard that. Outcomes in people's lives that you never would have dreamed of from an event that happened way back in their childhood or something like that. That's the thought. God fashions our hearts. Hebrews 12, 2 says that not only is he the author of our faith, but God is the perfecter of faith. He knows how to perfect your faith. Do you get that? He knows how to perfect your faith. And some of you have been going through difficulties. And if I've gotten a chance to talk to you, I've urged you, just hang on. Endure your circumstances, because if you do, if you hang on in faith, saying, God, I don't get this, I don't like this, you're in charge, I'm okay. If you do that, you will look back on the difficult times and say, those were good days. You will. You will. You'll smile at them, because God is developing you. And you know, you will know later on, you had to go through that in order to get to a more blessed spot in your own heart. Daniel 4, 37 is talking about Nebuchadnezzar. And he was a proud man. One day he boasted a little too much, and God said, that's it. And he sent him away into a wilderness, and he became like an animal. He ate grass. He got rained on. Hair grew long. Nails grew long. He was just a weird being. He was the beast. The Beauty and the Beast, he was the beast. And then God brought him back. And so this is his summary in verse 37. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise, exalt, and honor the King of heaven, for all his works are true and his ways are just. And look at this. He is able to humble those who walk in pride. This is God using our experiences to humble us. In the history of Israel, as they went through the wilderness, one of God's comments on taking them through the wilderness, those 40 years, was that he might humble them. Find out what was in their heart. This is a precious thing. It's difficult when we have trials. Sometimes we should bear our trials together. Oftentimes we should bear our trials together. We should say, this is what's going on in my life. It's hard. Please carry it with me. But God is using it nevertheless. Even if it is difficult, he is using it. He is using it. This is how he does it. This is the how of our experiences, the how God uses experiences for good. Well, the last part that we want to go through here is the have to of God's design studio. In other words, what do I have to do? How can I cooperate with God in this development process? If I were to put it into one word, it would be the word humility. And we just were talking about that, how God humbled Nebuchadnezzar. Why does he humble us? Because he's humble and he can't work with proud people. He cannot. He can't do anything with us. We're not made for our own glory. We're made for his glory. He can't work through us and in us if we're still stuck on our own glory. So humility is extremely important. Look at Proverbs 3, verse 6. This is how we display a degree of humility. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He'll make your path straight. He'll get you straight to a goal. He'll get you there faster. Acknowledge him. What does that mean to you? Acknowledge him. For some of us, it means pray a lot. Pray and say, God, this is what's going on. This is what I don't like. What are you doing in this situation? For some of us, it's journaling. That's how we think. We think, as somebody said, ideas are crystallized as they pass through the lips or over the fingertips. We have to write, we have to speak in order to figure out what God is doing. But this is an important concept for a believer to develop. God and I are walking through this life. What is he doing in all of your ways? Ask that question. Where are you taking me? Taking me to Nepal? Taking me to South Africa? Are you taking me across the street? Are you taking me to another town? Why am I in this job? Why am I having this problem? Oh, look, here comes certain person that I never met before because of this problem. Now I have this relationship started. Acknowledge what he's doing. Important concept. Proverbs 20, verse 24 says, a man's steps are ordained by the Lord. So how are you going to figure it out? How do you think you can figure out what your life is supposed to be about when God is ordaining your steps if you don't ask? It is incredibly important to cultivate a relationship with God. Asking him, where is he taking me? What are these experiences here for? Why am I going through what I'm going through? He's ordaining our steps. We need to find out what he's ordaining. Ask him. Psalm 53, verse 2 says, God has looked down from heaven upon the sons of men to see if there's any who understands. Here's the definition of anybody who understands, who seeks after God. This is what your life is about. Your life is about you and God. And the sad thing in Psalm 53 that he says next is, I didn't find anybody. None of us are born ready to seek after God. We're rebels. The curse has had its effect on us, and we're rebels. But when we come to faith, when we transfer our trust to Jesus, when we become reconciled to the God who made us, now we can seek after God. This is the point of your existence. This is the point of your experiences. They give you opportunities to relate to God. The problems do and the victories do. They give you opportunities to relate to God. Here's another requirement. This is something you have to learn. This is something you have to do if you are going to have your experiences become part of your eternal treasure, if you're going to allow your experiences to become the avenue through which God glorifies himself in you. Romans 12, 1 says, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. Now, by definition, a sacrifice is usually something that you kill. So how can you be a living killing? How do you put those two words together? Well, we need to understand. This is literally true. A living dying is our lot in life. Well, that sounds terrible. Oh, boy. Woe is me. The thought is that we have selfishnesses. We have selfish ambitions that need to be put to death so that God's life can be revealed in us. An extremely important thing to learn and practice on a daily basis. Did you know that the Apostle Paul said, I die daily? I think that's what he's talking about. I have learned that my life isn't about Bob anymore. That my real life is about what God is doing through Bob for his glory, for his honor. And I'm not perfect at it. I'm ways off. But that is, this concept is critical to ever having God work through my life or your life, that you learn the living, dying concept. Hebrews 5 says it this way. Those who are mature have their senses trained to discern good and evil. When I'm in a gathering, when we're eating or something like that, yeah, everybody wants to eat. It's fun. But there are also needs. And so if there's a need, it's more important that I meet the need than that I fill my tummy right now. That kind of thing. Just little twinges. Parenting is really good for this. For training this. Training it. Here's an example of someone who got this. It's Mary in Luke 1:38. Situation was the angel Gabriel came to Mary, told her she was going to have a child. Mary says, it's not going to work. I'm not married. Angel says, no problem. And Mary responds, behold, the bond slave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word. She made her life, she made her body available for whatever God called her to. I think it would have been impossible not to think about the embarrassment of it, that she'd be pregnant out of wedlock. Hey, in Israel, that wasn't common as it is here. It was very, very chagrined. But she made herself available to what God had. Well, sometimes our experiences get so confusing and so conflicting to what we thought life should be that we're about to go crazy. And so we need James chapter 1 and verses 2 through 5. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Yeah, right. Because you know something. The testing of your faith is necessary. If you are ever going to become a solid person, you have to have testing. By definition, endurance is putting strength against difficulty. And so God brings us into difficult situations that He knows are beyond us. That's the point, that we would develop a deeper understanding of His sufficiency, because then we're more secure. If my life is no longer about my strength and my talents and my this and my that, but is rather about I can rely on God, then I'm more secure. The other day I was doing an inspection, and I had to go in an attic, and there were two attics. And I had taken my dust mask off. I always wear a dust mask when I go in these dusty attics. And I couldn't find it. I said, God, what did I do with it? What did I do with that dust mask? And I went up, and I went down, and I looked everywhere. And then He showed me. This morning, I get dressed in the dark, and I knew I had put my socks in a certain place, and they're dark. Socks are dark. I said, God, I don't know. And there my hand hit the socks immediately. He does that kind of thing. This is part of Bob and God. We just have this little conversation going on. I lose things, He finds them. I ask Him. Consider it all joy. Let's look at verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, the thought of lacking wisdom is I'm ready to freak out. I don't get it. I don't like it. Is God thinking that way? He's not. He's not anxious. He is not anxious about you. He's not anxious about your life. He's not anxious about your circumstances. And if you will appeal to Him, He will give you that same perspective. That's what He's promising here. The annals of biblical history are filled with men and women whose experiences were absolutely key to the development of their faith. Abraham, for example, is heralded as the father of faith. But what did he have to go through? About 2 decades of waiting? They were absolutely necessary for him to become the father of faith, so to be recognized that way. There are a huge number of examples in the scriptures. You can think of the experiences of Joseph, how they worked in his life. The experiences of Moses, how they worked in his life. about Ruth, about Esther, about Lydia in the New Testament. Lydia, successful businesswoman. When she heard the gospel, she got saved, turned her house over to a church. Totally changed her life, but her experience there with Paul was critical to that happening. So I'm leaving the development of any one of those characters to Tim in a couple of weeks here. He can pick whomever he wishes. I would have loved to have done Joseph, but I chose instead this morning to talk about the hope of our experiences and the how of God's design studio process, and then the have-tos, what we have to do in order to experience Him. God bless you in your every day of life as you go through your experiences. Let's pray. God, thank you so much. We get this. We believe this. Help us in our unbelief. In Jesus' name, amen.